Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingenstein.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingenstein with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us David Klein. David is a nationally recognized award-winning transformational coach and experienced designer in baseball and the softball world. His distinct approach marries traditional coaching with modern technologies tailored to resonate with today's youth. As a former college baseball player and coach, he laid the foundation for Legends Baseball and Softball, which he started in 2009. And from its humble beginnings, it has grown exponentially to become the largest club baseball program on the West Coast. And it stands alone as the only U.S. franchise specializing in baseball and softball, producing over 50 players who've signed MLB contracts and nurturing three major leaguers and two Olympians. He's got some great insights that he's going to share around some of the things that he's learned as a leader, and looking forward to today's conversation with David. Can you first off give us just a little bit of your career story, a little overview of your what you've done up to this point?
Yep, sounds good, Mark. Thanks so much for having me. So grew up in New York until I was about 10, moved out to Northern California around the 2000 mark when the dot-com boom happened. Played baseball all through growing up, went to the University of California, Santa Barbara to play baseball. Cut in the middle of my senior year, wanted to be a big leaguer, was heartbroken, started my own semi-professional collegiate summer team and youth summer baseball camp in 2009 as a side project. And during my day job, I was selling medical devices. After about 6 years, we turned into a nationally recognized collegiate summer team. Our camps doubled in size every single year. And then in about 2015, I went all in, quit my day job and just focused on creating the future of youth baseball. Baseball is what I like to call it. And so since then, I've been full-time with Legends, and we're now the only registered franchise in America that focuses specifically on youth baseball and softball. I consider myself a baseball experience designer because I'm all about not just coaching kids, but creating the most meaningful experience possible that truly transforms a child's life from when they arrive to when they leave. I've won a bunch of awards from coaching. I have a wife and two kids, and I'm absolutely love what I do. I love helping coaches, and I love the stage of business that we're in because it's all focused on managing people, holding them accountable, and creating this program that could make a big impact on many people. So it's been a lot of fun, and excited to share it with your audience.
So if you were able to spin back time, not that many years ago, but when you were a 22-year-old, what do you wish you would have known earlier?
Well, I think I would tell the 22-year-old David to go all in with your own business when young, instead of kind of having a side project or a side passion and then giving, 80% of my time to my day job and then spreading myself thin with my side project. I like to think about burning the ships, and I find that most people that burn the ships and they go all in with their new business, their new passion, they typically find ways to be successful. And so if you're thinking about starting that business or switching the careers, my recommendation to you, if you have the runway, is to simply just make the leap, take the jump, and you will slowly begin to acquire skills and character traits that are necessary for you to be successful in that business. And by the time that you're late 20s, early 30s, you'll come out of there highly skilled. You would have failed a ton, which means you learned a ton. And at the end of the day, when you look back at your life, as long as it worked out for you, you can say, I spent my life on my own terms, making my own rules. And that's a huge deal if you can do that. So you're spending your life building and working towards your own dreams, your own business, instead of somebody else's. And 99% of the workforce in America is spending their time building somebody else's dreams. And that's okay, but that's not the path that I decided to go on. And the path that I recommend for listeners out there is just take that leap and make it happen.
So growing up in the Bay Area in Silicon Valley, what did that rub off on you as far as kind of that entrepreneurial bug? Do you think that was part of it?
It did. I'm in Silicon Valley, tons of startup culture. My dad worked in a number of startups. I think when I was young, I had a bar mitzvah. I was tutoring people. I worked at a sandwich shop. I was buying candy from Costco, selling it for more. And I just realized that with a little bit of work, you can make an impact. You can make things happen. And that continued in college where I was a president of fraternity and turned it into like a cash flow positive business. And I think just kind of growing up in that environment and then having a family or a parent that that supported me in my dreams and making things happen, it inspired me to go out and start my own business and knowing that there was going to be challenges along the way. So I think living in the Bay Area or being around anybody that's a creative outside the box thinker could have a big impact on you if you could put yourselves in those types of circles.
So the importance of accountability, and I think everybody looks at it as an entrepreneur that you're accountable for as the CEO, you're accountable for the whole organization. But talk about that whole concept around accountability and what you've learned about that.
Yeah, I've learned as the CEO or a leader, whether it be a sports team or really any manager or leader of a team, you're really like the CAO. You're like this chief accountability officer. And creating agreements with your workers, co-creating them, as opposed to setting expectations, has been one thing that's been so massive for me. So I never, especially even with my sports teams, set expectations. We will come together, both as my company or whether it be a sports team, and we will create agreements as to how we will show up. Process-based agreements with how we're going to do things, how we're going to get things done, how we're going to work through checklists or what the objectives will be at the end of the week. And then because we co-created those agreements, if they are not accomplished, then we have a discussion about it. But I find when you set expectations, say, hey, this is the way it's got to be, you either got to meet expectations or you're going to fall short. That's typically very one-sided. And oftentimes it's very just kind of dominating. And that's not the way to get the most out of your employees. So I like to think about the next stage of my growth personally and professionally is to get the business and get my life to where I want it to be. On the other side of it is to do that, you're just going to need to have a lot of difficult conversations. It's not easy or fun holding people accountable, but great leaders have to get comfortable doing that and they develop their own sort of accountability systems and styles.
So the people part of it is the part that's always challenging as you lead a company. Talk a little bit about just around hiring and motivating, especially working with the next generation that is in the workforce. And what have you learned? And is there a difference as far as in how to motivate them?
Yeah, I think there is. I think people are always typically motivated by different things, whether it be external factors, internal factors. It might be money. It might be vacations. They might just need some words of affirmation or some sort of recognition. Maybe they need some time off. But finding out what motivates them and essentially giving it to them is a big thing. And then I typically, when I think about when I need workers to get things done, there's three things that I need to make sure exist. I need to make sure that they know that I actually want them to get it done. I can't just expect people to be assertive and get things done. I need to make sure that they know how to get it done. Like they really understand the ins and outs of how to get it done. And I need to ensure that they are inspired to get it done, that they're motivated to get it done. And if those three things exist, then typically things are going to happen and you're going to get the outcomes that you want. But those three things have to exist. And so before I get on somebody else for not getting something done, I got to look at myself internally first and be like, hey, maybe this person wasn't trained properly, or maybe I didn't clearly communicate to them whether or not I needed to get done. So I think keeping other people accountable is important, but I think holding yourself accountable and taking ownership as a leader first for everything, start to finish, top to bottom in your organization, is important for a variety of reasons. But if you start holding yourself accountable, I think everybody else will start holding themselves accountable to a high level as well.
Yeah, that's a great thought. Talk about, and we talked in a previous conversation around scaling your business, and you mentioned there are three pillars to that. Can you walk through that and kind of the importance of each?
Yeah. So the three P's: product, promotion, people. Most people who start a business, they start because they got a great product or service. They lived it. They're coming from a different, they know it. They know it in and out. But once you get that product to a point where it sort of plateaus, maybe it's making $100,000, maybe $1 million a year, eventually it's going to plateau. And at that point, we need to start promoting it. So the second P is promotion. And there's so many fun, creative ways that you can promote products in today's world, whether it be signs around town or partnerships or affiliate marketing or social media or pay-per-click or Google search or YouTube videos. And then so then really nerding out on the latest and greatest possibilities for promoting your product is super important, because I've learned and I've spent months on end creating a landing page and a website, and I put it up there expecting sales to just flow in. And they just don't. You got to push it out there. And then lastly, and most importantly, to take your business from a 6-7 figure business to an 8-figure business, that's typically when you're going to need a team. And that's where it requires a leader who's going to be truly focused on people is required. And that's where the fun and the challenges exist. And I've made so many tough hires, Mark, and so many good hires. I am always looking for what I just like to call people, if they pass the beer and barbecue test. Would I want to get a beer and go and have some barbecue with them? Right. And if I know that they're coachable, they're accountable, they work hard, they're willing to work hard, I can typically train them to acquire certain skills or ways of thinking. But, if you really want to scale this thing to be big, you're going to need to bring in some awesome people and then find ways to keep them with you as long as possible, hug them tight, and continue to inspire them by giving them opportunities to learn, grow, and develop so that they can learn, grow, and develop and be the best people they can be for your organization as well.
So talk about the importance of mentors in your life. And have you purposely put a list of people that you want to get advice or seek counsel from? Has that been something that's been something you've planned out?
Definitely. I have a mentor in my father, who you know, who is an awesome CEO, great guy. I've modeled a lot of my leadership style after him. That said, I like to think about mentorship a little bit different sometimes. And I have two dozen people, you call them influencers or authors, whoever it may be, that I kind of consider mentors. They don't know me, but they're mentoring me all the time. And so if I'm looking to learn about marketing, which I've spent the last 2-3 years on, before that I was focusing on experience design, I will buy books and I will listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos, and I will allow them to sort of virtually mentor me. And then when I am in a pinch, Mark, what I will do is I say, what would Gary Vaynerchuk do? What would he do? What would my mentor do in that situation with all the hours and days I've listened to of that person? Given this scenario, what would they do? And oftentimes that allows me to come to some good conclusions when I'm confused. But those mentors, if you can get a live one, great. If not, you could use these sort of virtual mentors that exist out there as well. And hopefully that's helpful for somebody out there listening.
So are there any leadership books that you've read that have been helpful for you and you would recommend to other leaders?
You know, I listened to some of your podcasts and a lot of them threw out a whole bunch of different books. I'm just going to give you one that was inspirational for me. And this author is great in general for leadership and culture building books. And he does have an athletic background. Is John Gordon, who wrote The Energy Bus. He also wrote another good book I read recently, The Power of Positive Leadership. But I really like The Energy Bus, because in my world of sports and sports performance, a lot of this is about, especially in baseball, you got to keep it positive. You got to stay positive. This world can be so negative. And so The Energy Bus is all about having a leader as the driver of the bus. And then you got to invite the people on the bus And that, and if they're not on the bus, they're not on the bus with you, or they're constantly looking out the window, they're not looking forward, then they might need to leave the bus. But The Energy Bus was a great book, a great story about the power of having positive energy and fueling people with positive energy and showing them the mission, the vision, the values, and constantly reminding them about it and inviting people on your bus to join you to get where you want to be. So that John Gordon has been great. I also like some of the classics, like, you know, obviously like Think and Grow Rich, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I love reading marketing books as well, persuasive books on sales and things like that. But I love John Gordon.
So any quotes that you refer to from sports? There's all kinds of quotes that are out there, but any that you like to refer back to?
When I was in college, I was elected to be president of my fraternity, but I also learned at that time that a bunch of my brothers at the time had voted also for somebody else to be the president of the fraternity. And I was like, oh my God, like how could people want this guy? Why didn't everybody want me? And then as time went on, I realized that, wow, some people are not happy with the job that I'm doing. And that continued on when I was coaching at the high school level. And I realized this one quote that my dad told me, because I am a people pleaser. And there's probably other people pleasers out there too, that want to do good by people. You'll please some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time, but you're never going to please everybody all the time, no matter how hard you try. And as someone who's held myself to the standard of being an awesome leader who limits mistakes and it tries to be a man of the people and help everybody, I've learned that no matter how hard I work or how good of a program or product I create, there's just going to be some people that are going to be upset and unhappy. And understanding that allowed me to some grace to take a step back and understand that no matter what, there's going to be 33% that absolutely love me, 33% that are content, and then there's this other maybe 33%, hopefully less, that are not stoked about how things are, and that's going to be okay. That's okay.
So, what do you do outside of work to recharge?
The number one thing that I do is be around people. I love people. I'm very social. I love friends. I find that conversation, deep conversation, going to concerts, sporting events, walks, playing golf, pickleball, whatever it may be, with people that I love and care about, that's typically what takes my mind off of work. So yeah, working out, time with friends and family is massive. But I also don't, people talk about work-life balance or work-life integration. And I have a contrarian thought that I've recently been pondering on is you think about balance, like balancing work and then life, and they're two different things. So you want to have more balance. So to stop doing so much work so you can do things in your life that you want to do. But what if you want to be working? What if you love what you do? And that's kind of where I'm at, where, yeah, outside of work, what I do to recharge. But I think if you truly do love your work, then that work can be recharging as well. And so I've tried to tap into that as well. And you don't need to have your own business. What part of your role within your company, your job, can be recharging for you? And I encourage people listening out there to find ways that work is recharging, or shift their mindset so that it's not work or life, it's work-life integration. And so this whole idea of like balancing to do things that you want to do in life, well, I'm not sure that's always true for everybody. I do think that work can be a recharging part of your life.
That's great. That's a great comment. I don't think anybody's ever said that on the podcast. It's great. So what are you most excited about your next stage of your business?
We've been mainly offering in-person programming experiences. I've built up 300,000 social media followers. I constantly give 3 posts per day across 6 platforms, 18 pieces of content per week. I'm dedicating the next 4 or 5 months to creating the greatest digital resource for youth sport, baseball and softball coaches in the world. I'm very excited to now ask my followers and my listeners to pay it forward and create or consume an awesome resource that I put together. So my goal is to continue growing this program, ensure that my workers are happy, they feel motivated. But for the next phase, I'm very excited to offer a few more digital programs and products as opposed to just in-person stuff. So that's exciting for me right now.
So how would somebody learn more about your company and what you're doing?
Yeah, you can look up Legends Baseball or Legends Baseball Camps on any social media platform. If you want to check out our website, or if you're interested in franchising or learning more about me or the Legends program, a great other place that you can go to is legendscamps.com.
Great. Well, David, this has been a lot of fun and definitely enjoyed our conversation, your passion for what you're doing, and wish you continued success.
Awesome, Mark. This was great. Thank you so much for having me, and hope to be in touch more soon.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.